It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Losing Afghanistan. Good afternoon. Welcome aboard. The Taliban has seized more turf in that war-torn country. The terror group has control of two-thirds of Afghanistan and is closing in on the capital, Kabul. Retired four-star General Jack Keane says Afghans have reason to worry.
They're barbaric, they're fanatical, and they are a killing machine. And we'll see that in slow motion all the way to Kabul. It will be horrific.
Former Marine Joey Jones lost both his legs in Afghanistan.
What just makes me so mad about this is we have a man in the White House that couldn't predict this, that told us just a week ago nothing like this would happen. And those are the people that are going to keep us safe.
3,000 U.S. troops moving in to evacuate Americans and embassy staff from Kabul. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
We believe this is the prudent thing to do given the rapidly deteriorating security situation in and around Kabul.
Former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman fears the Taliban will celebrate the 20th anniversary of 9/11 by burning down our embassy in Kabul.
We need to have a new plan for how we're going to defend ourselves in the region, starting with our embassy and beyond here in the homeland from the attacks that Al-Qaeda will plan on that ungoverned space. There's no question that the Biden administration did not plan effectively. The evidence of that is clear. We're sending 3,000 troops to defend our embassy.
Roxana Saberi has more from the Afghan capital.
The violence has pushed hundreds of thousands of people to flee in recent months. Many are coming to Kabul seeking safety. They've left behind their homes, their belongings, and even loved ones killed in the fighting.
President Biden has ordered a drawdown of U.S. forces by the end of August, bringing an end to America's longest war, a war that has spanned two decades. Border disorder, that is our other big story this Friday. July migrant encounters hit a 21-year high at our southern border. 212,000 people crossed into this country illegally last month. Against that backdrop, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas paid a visit to the border in Brownsville, Texas, yesterday.
The situation at the border is one of the toughest challenges we face.
This Brownsville resident accuses the Biden administration of caring more about illegal immigrants than U.S. citizens.
They are not thinking about the American people. These immigrants, as far as we feel, are more important to them than we are. And they still want us to be carrying a card around saying that we've been vaccinated or haven't, and you got to wear a mask. These illegals aren't being told to do anything. They're just carte blanche. How do you deal with that? Well, there's only one man that can fix it. That's Biden. But he won't. And so that, to me, that's un-American. It is absolutely un-American what's going on.
The mayor of Laredo, Texas, says he is spending upwards of $10,000 a day just to bus migrants out of his city. 40% of those migrants are testing positive for COVID. Late last night, the FDA approved a COVID booster shot for those with compromised immune systems. This is a big deal, says Dr. David Agus at USC.
This is a big step forward in that other nations have data that the third shot clearly offers a benefit to those individuals, helping them fight off the Delta variant.
The booster shot comes as two more major American cities, New Orleans and San Francisco, announced they will require proof of vaccination or negative COVID tests in order to get into indoor spaces like gyms or restaurants.
We're back in the throes of things as if we were before the vaccination rollout.
That emergency room physician in New Orleans says hospitals there are, in a word, overwhelmed. A judge in Florida, meantime, will decide today the constitutionality of that state's ban on mask mandates. Senator Marco Rubio thinks masking kids in the classroom is cruel.
How are you going to keep masks on a six-year-old all day in the classroom?
The CDC said today that more than 90% of the counties in this country, 90% are now seeing high or substantial rates of COVID transmission. New numbers from the Census Bureau show the face of America is changing. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe says the white population has declined for the first time ever.
White Americans now account for less than two-thirds of the population. That's down more than 8%. The number of black Americans climbed by single digits, Asians and Latinos by double digits, and people who identify as multiracial spiked 276%.
Ed O'Keefe reporting in a cornfield in Iowa. They're asking the question, baseball or Hollywood?
It's a little of both in Dyersville, Iowa, when Kevin Costner emerged from a cornfield onto MLB's new Field of Dreams, followed by Yankees and White Sox players.
On the other side of that corn, we filmed a movie that stood the test of time. The dream's still alive. There's probably just one question to answer. Is this heaven?
Show didn't stop there. Players slammed ball after ball into the tall Iowa corn. In the end,
Anderson hits it in the air to right, back at the wall, and the White Sox win it!
The call and the fireworks on Fox as Chicago beat New York 9-8.
What a moment for professional baseball. That's Deborah Rodriguez reporting. We, of course, will have more on the Field of Dreams game coming up later in sports. Also ahead on this Friday edition of the Noon Report, shock poll out of Buffalo. No fans in the stands in Williamsport. And when it comes to redistricting, it is back to the drawing board. But first, let's take it outside, get a quick pick at that weekend forecast. Here's meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Well, good afternoon. The week ends as it began on a summery note, but a change for the weekend is ahead, a change many of us will like. Forecast details are straight ahead. We'll see you in 10.
All right. See you then. Thank you, Kevin. Let's check the headlines from New York and Pennsylvania. Lots going on today. The new school year in New York is fast approaching, and there are still a lot of questions about what that will look like exactly. Now the State Education Department is providing a little clarity. It has released new school reopening guidelines. Jackie Roberts with WGRZ-TV.
The 21-page document is based on recommendations from the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics. Both agencies suggest universal indoor masking in K through 12 schools, regardless of vaccination status and community transmission levels. The guidance also recommends at least 3 feet distance between students within classrooms.
Mark Laurie, superintendent of the Niagara Falls School District.
It's a lot of recommendations, but I wouldn't say there's anything earth-shattering in that document that says you must or you're mandated to. It still leaves a lot of discretion to school districts.
Laurie says the big bugaboo in the guidance has to do with the use of masks.
The good news is we're coming back to school, and we're coming back to school 5 days. I think where the patience needs to occur is whether we need to be wearing masks full time or not.
Masks will be required on all school buses, regardless of your vaccination status. That's due to federal law. Now, if local districts follow these state guidelines to a T, it could mean the cancellation of sports like football in counties at high risk for spreading COVID. Big news out of South Williamsport. Organizers of the Little League World Series have announced that there will be no fans in the stands for this year's tournament. This year, all 16 teams competing will be from the U.S. The cancellation comes as the Delta variant spreads. Little League Baseball announcing today that it has canceled plans to distribute 3,000 daily passes during that 10-day tournament. The Little League World Series starts next Thursday, August 19th, there in South Williamsport. New York Mark's Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul taking the reins of power in just 12 days and is already planning her own gubernatorial bid next year. Family Life's Jeremy Miller takes a look at what will be a crowded Democratic field in 2022.
Yeah, you said it. There are a range of potential candidates, and Attorney General Letitia James would be formidable following the release of the report on the sexual harassment allegations against Governor Cuomo. Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, and New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams haven't ruled out bids for the executive mansion. U.S. Representative Tom Suozzi, State Senator Alessandra Biaggi, State Senator Jessica Ramos, and Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone round out the list of 9 potential candidates. The Democratic primaries will be held in June. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
New York Republican gubernatorial candidate Rob Astorino fears a lurch left by the soon-to-be governor, Kathy Hochul, who takes over for Andrew Cuomo on August 24.
Kirsten Gillibrand, who was a congresswoman from upstate New York before she became senator when she was appointed, she had an NRA rating of an A+. And then all of a sudden she went wacky left. I think we're going to see the same thing with Hochul.
Astorino says he does not believe Hochul when she claims to have no knowledge of the Cuomo scandals.
You know, she's got the stain and the stench of Cuomo on her. It's going to be Houdini act now to say, who's Andrew Cuomo? I never knew the guy.
Astorino on Fox News today says Hochul supports bail reform and many other far-left policies that have directly contributed to an increase in crime in New York's larger cities. Election Day, still 3 months away, but already in Buffalo, the big mayoral race is heating up. New poll shows the incumbent mayor, Byron Brown, holds a 10-point lead over India Walton, despite her defeating him in the Democratic primary.
When we organize, we win!
Political newcomer India Walton shocked the Democratic Party faithful by winning the primary in June. It left three-term incumbent mayor Byron Brown without a line to run on the November ballot. But 58% of likely Buffalo voters polled would consider writing in his name for mayor. The same Emerson College WIVB poll of more than 800 voters showed that 80% have never written in a name on the ballot.
Mayor Brown is leading with Hispanics in the city, men in the city, and he's leading with a majority of all age groups over the age of 35 years old.
But India Walton leads among voters under 35 and holds a slight lead among black voters. The fact that she calls herself a Democratic socialist would seem to be unfavorable to 40% of those polled, but not the majority, who either have no opinion or a favorable view of socialism.
That's George Reckert with WIVB-TV. The Census Bureau has released new population data needed to draw Pennsylvania new look political map.
This data officially sets in motion a process that will help determine the balance of power in Harrisburg and Washington. The state's population topped 13 million in 2020, but because it did not grow as much as other states over the past decade, Pennsylvania will lose one of its 18 congressional seats. More than 40 counties in the west, central, and northern parts of the state saw declines in population, while the southeast continued to grow. The share of Pennsylvanians who identify as white declined from nearly 80% to 73.5% the past decade. The Hispanic population grew, and the number of black residents remained roughly the same. Brennan Dixon, Family Life News.
New York is also losing a congressional seat next year. Now, if the Empire State had counted just 89 more people, it would have avoided that. 89 people out of 19 million. Amazing. New York's now conducting its first ever public redistricting process. That means you get a say in the way that the political boundary lines are divvied up. Assemblyman Phil Palmisano hopes the Southern Tier keeps its representative in Washington.
I do believe, and based on the population of the entire Southern Tier, if you take it from Chautauqua County, even over towards Binghamton, there is population there to preserve a Southern Tier Finger Lakes type base seat as it is now. And I think that's the argument that has been made.
That seat, the 23rd congressional seat, being vacated next year by the retiring Republican Tom Reed. The first draft of new look district lines will be released mid-September. After public input, the Redistricting Commission will modify its maps and submit a final proposal to the state legislature in January. Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey Jr. is under fire from pro-lifers for key votes this week on Capitol Hill. Casey, who calls himself a pro-life Democrat, voted to terminate the Hyde Amendment, which prevents taxpayer money from funding abortions. Also, he voted against a bill to ban abortions after 20 weeks and supported a measure that allows the termination of unborn babies who have Down syndrome. Kristen Day, president of Democrats for Life, says Senator Casey has sold his soul, her words, to the abortion lobby. Keeping in the Commonwealth, child sex abuse prevention activists are making good on their promise to keep the heat on Senate Majority Leader Kim Ward. She is refusing to advance a bill that gives adult survivors of abuse their day in court. This week, they took their battle to the Republicans' own backyard in Westmoreland County. They placed two full-sized highway billboards in her hometown. They include photographs of Ward and the governor, along with the dark image of a child sitting cross-legged with her head down, and a message that challenges those politicians to do something to stop child predators. Well, heading into a new school year, a lot of districts are in need of essential workers. That includes bus drivers and custodians. In Fairport, New York, the help wanted sign is out. Assistant Superintendent Doug Loft says the district is in desperate need of more staff.
Bus drivers, bus attendants, cleaners, paraprofessionals, and food service helpers, along with cafeteria aides and monitors.
From a facility standpoint, again, it's been challenging. Long gone are the days of the mop and bucket. I mean, the auto scrubber, which is pretty standard, but expanding on that to help fill the gaps and make more efficient use of the labor that we do have.
That's Adam Smith, Director of Facilities at Fairport. Next door, Hilton Central, also experiencing a staffing shortage. They will be hosting a job fair next week. Ned Dale is a spokesman for that district.
It's probably a little more than 25 positions that we need to fill before Labor Day to ensure our schools can reopen. And at this time, we're just having a difficult time even identifying candidates.
School districts statewide have more information about the job openings on their websites. Administrators are encouraging you, if you need a job, please check them out. A bank with branches in Pennsylvania and New York is accused of fleecing its customers out of millions of dollars in unlawful banking fees. Chris Smith of Countersport filed suit in federal court yesterday against Citizens and Northern Bank out of Wellsboro, PA. It has 36 branches throughout the Twin Tiers. Smith wants a class action lawsuit. He contends that bank illegally charges a fee for certain transactions that he says should be free. And for those of you who are over the heat wave, well, hang in there. We are near the end. Meteorologist Bill Caron.
Relief will be on the way, but not for today. It'll feel like 104 in D.C., 104 in New York.
More than 75 million of us still under a heat advisory today. Several people struck by lightning yesterday on a beach in the Bronx. A teenager is in critical condition.
Storms swept in late Thursday and city beaches were crowded with people looking to get relief from the heat. The Parks Department says lifeguards have cleared all swimmers from the water. Public address announcements have been made telling everyone to clear the beach. Now, people reacting to the nearly half a dozen struck by lightning.
They think they could ride it through and next thing you know, this happens.
A shocking amount of people. Statistically, you wouldn't think that would happen.
My wife's uncle got hit by lightning twice in his house. In the bathroom.
The boy went into cardiac arrest and was hospitalized, as were the others, who are stable. James Flippin, New York.
Fire broke out late last night at a church in Montrose, PA. Fire departments from Susquehanna, Wyoming, and Bradford counties assisted. Took over 5 hours to snuff out the flames at the South Montrose Community Church, which was a complete loss. It's 16 past the hour. This is the Noon Report. Let's check sports next. The Field of Dreams game was anything but corny last night as the White Sox took on the mighty Yankees in Dyersville, Iowa. After slamming a home run into the tall corn that surrounds the field where the 1989 movie was filmed, Yankee slugger Aaron Judge talked about what that experience meant.
I'm getting a chance to actually be at the Field of Dreams and play a game here and, you know, have family and friends here and get a chance to represent the Yankees here. I can't really describe it. Like I said, it's a dream come true.
Chicago went on to win the game 9-8 on a walk-off home run by this guy, Tim Anderson.
Been on the Field of Dreams, and to be able to make a memory like this is definitely leaving a mark. You know, the fans came to see the show. And, we gave him a show tonight. Tonight was a, exciting night.
Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred has confirmed that the Field of Dreams game will be a yearly tradition. It returns next year. Field of Dreams movie star Kevin Costner.
It does feel like all the teams are going to want to touch this. There's going to be hot competition to play here. There's going to be records set here. And you saw the players. It became a pride to get one into the corn. There's nothing like tradition, and today it's starts.
Costner took part in the opening ceremonies last night by leading the White Sox and Yankees players out of the cornfield in center field at the start of the game. What a moment for big league baseball. Elsewhere in baseball, the New York Mets picked up a couple key wins over the Washington Nationals in a doubleheader at Citi Field. 4-1, your score in the first one. 5-4 in the nightcap. The Mets now just a half game back of the Philadelphia Phillies in the NL East. The LA Clippers officially locking down the claw to a long-term deal. LA linking all-star forward Kawhi Leonard to a four-year $176 million deal. Leonard expected to miss most of the upcoming season due to a leg injury. And the Buffalo Bills' first preseason game is tonight in Detroit. Kickoff set for 7:30. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And And still to come on the Noon Report for a Friday, losing Afghanistan, guidance for schools, and 60 years since the Berlin Wall. But first, let's take it outside, get a check of that weekend forecast. Here's Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. For this afternoon, we stay humid with clouds and sunshine, a couple of scattered thunderstorms in the area. Could be potent with a downpour and a gust of wind in places. High temps 80s to near 90. Later tonight, leftover clouds and a shower. Low temps mostly 60s. Tomorrow in New York, cooler, less humid, early cloud cover, then sunny in the 70s. In Pennsylvania tomorrow, morning clouds and a shower, then turning sunny, 70s and near 80, and bright and sunny on Sunday with high temperatures in the 70s.
All in all, not a bad-looking weekend. Thank you very much, Kevin Williams, at the Weather Center. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. Great to have you with us today. Lots going on this Friday afternoon, the 13th day of August. 3,000 American troops are being dispatched to Kabul, Afghanistan. They are en route, as we speak, getting U.S. citizens and embassy staff out of there. This as the Taliban runs roughshod over that country. Still, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby refusing to call it an evacuation effort.
Nobody is abandoning Afghanistan. It's not walking away from it. It's doing the right thing at the right time to protect our people.
This is not an evacuation. This is not the wholesale withdrawal. What this is a reduction in the size of our civilian footprint.
Former U.S. Marine Joey Jones lost both his legs fighting for our freedom in Afghanistan. He is outraged that the White House was not more proactive in preventing this Taliban comeback.
They couldn't see this happening, or did they know and they just wanted to lie to us because Biden knew he would be the president that lost Afghanistan and he would rather do it before the midterms than after? I don't know.
The Taliban now in control of more than two-thirds of Afghanistan, and the fall of Kabul seems imminent. Again, 3,000 American troops on their way to evacuate embassy staff. New guidance from New York suggests high-risk high school sports like football and wrestling could be canceled if athletes are not fully vaccinated. Those guidelines, part of a 21-page reopening report that was issued to schools late Thursday from the State Education Department. The guidance also recommends mask use in school, but it would be up to the local districts to enforce. The coronavirus is taking a toll on teachers in South Florida.
Three teachers and a teacher's aide died from COVID in just a 24-hour period this week. The deaths came as Broward County pushes back against an order from Governor Ron DeSantis that prevents local school districts from requiring masks for all students. A handful of other Florida counties are also challenging the governor's order. The union confirms that three of the teachers who died were not vaccinated. The vaccination status of the fourth teacher is unknown. I'm Rory O'Neill.
For the first time, the U.S. Supreme Court has weighed in on a vaccine mandate in this country. Has never happened before now. Justice Amy Coney Barrett refusing to block a plan by Indiana University that requires students and workers get the shot. The U.S. Supreme Court has also blocked New York's eviction moratorium, which was put in place because of the pandemic. Once again, in the Noon Report, here's Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
The High Court made the ruling less than a month before the moratorium was supposed to expire anyway. New York can no longer enforce a provision that allows renters to avoid eviction through a hardship declaration, claiming they lost income, had more expenses, or that moving would harm their health. The court's ruling allows some evictions to resume, but a separate measure that protects renters if they can prove to a court they've suffered because of the pandemic is still in place. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
All right, Jeremy, thank you for that tragedy on a family farm in western Ohio.
Three brothers, Gary, Todd, and Brad Woopker, all in their 30s, were overcome by toxic fumes and died after getting trapped in a manure pit on their family's livestock farm near St. Henry, Ohio. Investigators believe they were trying to fix a pump before they passed out.
Correspondent Jim Krasula, help wanted. Small business owners are struggling to stay open due to staffing problems. It is a problem that thousands of business owners are facing all over America. Some that we spoke to say there is no incentive to get back to work. And until that changes, this crisis will not end.
Since the beginning of COVID last year, it's just constantly, you know, handouts and this and that. You're creating a lack of wanting to work.
That is Kevin Thomas. He runs a restaurant in the state of Maine and had to shut down due to a lack of workers.
These job shortages are across the board. We see it more so with the restaurant because everybody goes out to eat. It's something that's right there. You don't think about the guy that's packing the warehouse and packing the trucks to get you the food for the restaurant.
Nearly 4 million Americans quit their jobs in June. The Labor Department says there are over 10 million job openings in this country right now. Well, archaeologists have made a roaring discovery in northwest China.
A study published Thursday revealed the discovery of two new dinosaur species, both belonging to the sauropod family of plant-eating dinos with long necks. Researchers estimate one of the creatures to be more than 65 feet long and the other longer than 55 feet, making them nearly as big as blue whales. Fragments from a third dinosaur were also found, but it wasn't a new species. I'm Matt Mattinson.
All right, very interesting. Thank you for that, Matt. It is 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
And this is our summer-long staycation destination series. Every Friday during the Noon Report, we'll spotlight a staycation destination that's not far from home and won't break the bank. This week, we're taking you to the brand-new Canalside Roller Rink in Buffalo, New York.
My name is Lauren Maloney Ford, and my position is general manager for the Buffalo Waterfront.
Great. And so the Erie Canal Harbor Development Corporation is going to be opening the seasonal attraction, the new roller rink at Canalside. Tell us a little bit about it. Paint a picture for our listeners.
Sure. So if you've been down to the ice rink in the winter, we are transforming that into kind of a fall wonderland, and it'll have outdoor roller skating. And then off to the side, we will have pop-up programs throughout the week and on the weekends, including a farmer's market, themed skate night. So it'll really be a one-stop shop for fall fun down at Canalside.
Great. And it kicks off when?
August 20th will be our grand opening, and we will be open through October 31st this year, weather permitting, obviously.
So we're just a week away. Pretty exciting. So I have to ask, logistically, are you putting something over the typical area that is normally iced in the winter?
We're not, actually. We are draining the canals, and we are doing maintenance on the concrete surface so that people can skate directly on the concrete. We're putting up the dasher boards that we typically have for the ice rink. We've looked at a lot of other outdoor rinks, and this seems to be the best solution for an outdoor open-air rink.
Excellent. Well, roller skating brings back good memories from my own childhood. Should people bring their own skates, or are rentals available?
We will have rentals available. And to start the season off, we are asking that people leave inline skates at home. So we're using the four-wheel skates, and we will have plenty of pairs available for rental at the admission tent.
Great. And what will the admission fees be to get in next week?
So once we open, we'll be $6 for adult admission, $2 for children admission ages 13 and younger, and skate rentals will be available for $4. Fridays before 5 will be free of charge thanks to Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield. And then also on Wednesdays, if you visit another Canalside attraction, including the Carousel, the Naval Park, or Explore and More, we are also offering free admission to any of those visitors.
Great. I was just going to ask, what else can you do when you come, and how long should you allow?
Sure. So I think we can really make a full day of it at Canalside now. We definitely still have some pop-up programs that are coming down that people should check out on our website, buffalowaterfront.com. But then open daily at Canalside, we have the Carousel, which is just $1 to ride. And then Explore More will also be open through the fall. The Naval Park will be going pretty far into the roller rink season. And our vendors along the boardwalk will be open through most of the season as well.
Great. And again, if you could say where we can go for more information about Canalside.
The best place will be our website, buffalowaterfront.com. And then you can also follow us on social, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Buffalo Waterfront.
Great. Is there anything else you want to tell people? Maybe people who are from farther away and they've never been to Canalside?
Sure. So it's definitely easy to get to. There are plenty of hotels and restaurants around in the area. So now Canalside, we're really trying to make it a year-round destination. You know, I think we're definitely known for things to do in the summer and then the ice skating rink in the winter. And now we have plenty to do in the fall as well.
hope you've enjoyed coming along on our staycation destination. You can hear all the podcasts online. Join us next week as we visit a new spot in Pennsylvania.
All right, Tracy, looking forward to that. Thank you very much. And as Tracy mentioned, you can download our summer-long staycation destination features at familylife.org. After the break, 60 years since the Berlin Wall.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As we get ready to segue into the weekend, we do so with a big change in our weather coming. A cold front is on the way. Had a bit of humid, steamy day today with some scattered thunderstorms. Behind the front, though, refreshingly cooler and drier air mass moves in, and the result will be a nice break from the very steamy tropical air of late. But for this afternoon, we stay humid with clouds and sunshine, a couple of scattered thunderstorms in the area. Could be potent with a downpour and a gust of wind in places. High temps 80s to near 90. Later tonight, leftover clouds and a shower. Low temps mostly 60s. Tomorrow in New York, cooler, less humid, early cloud cover, then sunny in the 70s. In Pennsylvania tomorrow, morning clouds and a shower, then turning sunny, 70s and near 80, and bright and sunny on Sunday with high temperatures in the 70s.
Okay, thank you kindly, Kevin Williams at the Weather Center. And finally at noon for a Friday, remembering some important history. On this date, 60 years ago, a stark symbol of the Cold War was born. Correspondent Vicki Barker has more on the construction of the wall.
August 1961. Cranes lower the concrete slabs into place, watched by armed guards with dogs and horrified Berliners. This woman was in the capitalist West, her sister caught in the communist East.
It was terrible. People crying, shouting.
These people struggled with East German guards, scrambling through the barbed wire and metal barriers of the unbuilt sections.
As the communist barrier between East and West Berlin grows higher and stronger.
At least 120 people died trying to cross that wall until the wall itself came down in 1989. Vicki Barker, London.
Thank you very much, Vicki. And just 13 months after the wall fell, communism collapsed and the Soviet Union ceased to exist, relegated, as Ronald Reagan said, to the ash heap of history. And that's the world we live in, Friday, the 13th of August. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.